Hello, you can join me today in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 29 and 30. I want to continue our little kind of mini-series here from this chapter in the book of Ephesians. We've been talking about how many Christians, quite sadly, often, even though they've been washed, they've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, they go back and live kind of like they did before they were saved. They put back on the filthy, gross, dirty, and disgusting garments of sin. A struggle that all of us have. It's a common occurrence. Even though we've been cleansed from sin, we often continue to live in it. And that is not what God wants. This chapter in Ephesians tells us that Christ has taught us something different. As we watch, as we follow Christ, we learn something different than that. God does not want you and I to live like little pagans. But rather, Christ expects and demands that you walk in or clothe yourself with holiness. That you live set apart for Christ. And that at the end of the day, one of the results would be that your life would be distinguishably different from your former life as an unbeliever and distinguishably different from those who don't know Jesus around you. So the big idea that we've been noting in this chapter is that you must embrace the new walk, new garments. And it's not simply enough, we've noted, to abandon the old walk, but you've got to put on a new lifestyle. You must clothe yourself with the garments of holiness. Just to review, as we've done each time, verses 25 to 32 provide for us five imperatives or commands for this new walk. And in each one of those commands, we've noted each week that you've got this pattern that it begins with the command stated negatively. So you have the statement of a negative command, and then that's followed by the statement of that command positively. And then finally, it's followed by either a given or implied theological reason for that command. So what command are we going to consider today? Command number four, imperative number four, taken from verses 29 to 30, we could word it something like this. You must build up others with your words. I think any time that the subject of our words or our tongues comes up in the scripture, it's so convicting because James just reminds us, like, most of us fail all the time with our words. But a passage like this reminds us, oh, it doesn't have to be that way. That actually now that we have Christ dwelling within us, the Spirit dwelling within us, we can take off the old garments of sin, put on the new ones in Christ, and live a new life. Talk with different words in different ways, in ways that please the Lord. So what's the negative side of the command in verses 29 and 30? Well, it begins this way, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. In other words, don't speak corrupt or unwholesome words. This could refer to any kind of dishonest, unkind, or vulgar talk. It is talk that hurts others and tears others down in some way, shape, or form. These are words of rot and decay. Such words include things like mocking others, name-calling, gossiping, cursing, speaking evil of other people, critical words, and all kinds of other words that are corrupt by their very nature. Proverbs has so many things to say on the tongue. With regards to the tongue, it mentions lying in chapter 6, verse 17. The Lord hates a lying tongue. That's corrupt talk. Proverbs 8, verse 13, to fear the Lord is to hate perverse words. Chapter 10, verse 6 of Proverbs, violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Fighting words. Proverbs 12, 18, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. Words that hurt. We've all experienced that. Someone said something to us and it was just like the thrust of a knife or the thrust of a sword right into our gut. Right into our heart. Harsh words, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous or harsh words stir up anger. We can use our tongue in so many negative ways, and you've probably been guilty, as have I, over the last week and probably over the last 24 hours, maybe over the last hour, with using your words in sinful, corrupting ways. And that's our negative command, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths. And then the command is now stated positively, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion. Instead of corrupt talk, God wants you to use talk that actually ministers life to other people, that builds up others, that edifies others, and is fitting for the occasion at hand. You want to use words that build up others and strengthen them. Your words must be beneficial to other people. You want to speak words that seek to help others grow in Christ, that seek to encourage others, that seek to minister life, not death. Again, going back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Don't you want your words to be like a well? It's like water that people drink and they're nourished by. That's what God wants for your tongue. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many. Your words could actually be used to feed, nourish, and in some ways actually sustain other people. Proverbs 12:18, the tongue of the wise is health. In chapter 12, verse 25, heaviness makes the heart stoop. A good word makes it glad. If you speak a good word on a fitting occasion, you can help bring gladness to another person. And going back to Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath. It actually produces peace. When we use our words to minister death, it's just disgusting. All sorts of bad things happen, but we can actually, by God's grace, use our words to minister life to others. So why does God tell us negatively, don't let any corrupt talk come out of your mouth? And then the flip side of that, but only words that are good for building up and as fit the occasion. Well, we're given the reason there in verse 29 and then into verse 30, that it may give grace to those who hear. And then verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Why do we seek to edify others with our words? Why do we seek to minister life with our words? Well, first, we want to be a blessing to other people. We want to help them. We want to encourage them. We want to help them go forward in their walk with God and grow and live in peace and harmony with their Lord. But second, we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit who has stamped us, who has sealed us as his own. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and you can grieve him. The Holy Spirit's not just, well, he's not a force. He's not some mystical power. The Holy Spirit is a person dwelling within you, and as a person, he has the characteristics of personhood. He has emotions. He has feelings, and you can grieve the Spirit of God. God does not want that. You must use your words to build others up. Next time you have the opportunity, use your words the right way. When I was in high school, I remember one Friday night, things were a little bit ugly at our house. I don't even remember the exact occasion and who was all involved, but I remember that a lot of alcohol, large amounts of alcohol had been consumed in our home on that weekend, and some very negative things happened in our home, and I was upset. In fact, I was quite angry, and I was hurt, and I was mad, I was frustrated, and I needed somebody to talk to, and I just was in a world of hurt after that weekend. And I remember I said something to a girl about my age from her church, maybe a text or something, a girl in my class, and just kind of hinted a little bit that things had been really tough at our place that weekend. And I remember her dad gave me a call, and on Saturday morning he came and picked me up from my home and took me out for breakfast, coffee or something, and just chatted with me. And I remember on that occasion how he ministered life to me with his words, encouraging me in the Lord, reminding me of truth, of bringing scripture into play as I was trying to process what on earth God wanted me to do and what the biblical response was. And I just remember feeling so loved and cared for by this adult man in our church who had taken an interest in me and who had taken the time to use his words to minister life to me. You and I have opportunities like that all the time. to come along other side, alongside of people who are hurting, who are discouraged, who are going through challenges and difficulties or whatever the case may be, and to minister life with our words. Pray that God would help you to see those opportunities and to take them. And on the flip side of that, we have the opportunity every day to minister death with our words to other people. And unfortunately, we take those opportunities all the time. And when you do that, you need to repent. You need to confess that sin to God. You need to make it right with Him, right with the person that you've wronged. And pray that God help you to walk in the Spirit and not speak in a way that ministers death to other people. Just a few practical thoughts as we wrap up this little devotional here. I think the Bible always encourages us to spare our words. And the multitude of words, the more we speak, often the more we sin. God wants you to guard what you say, to think before you speak and ask the question, am I speaking these words in love or are these going to come out as words of death? I think we want to avoid exaggerating, using language like always and never. That type of language is rarely true in its entirety. I also think biblically, God doesn't want us to swing back. People are going to swing at you. They're going to throw punches at you with their words. And in those moments, it's so hard to not swing back. And you need the Holy Spirit to help you. You need God's grace to not throw a punch right back in the other direction. Another practical word of wisdom would be, as we speak to others, not to be accusatory, but to ask questions. We get in a lot of trouble when we come out with our words and just say, boom, you've done this, you've done that, you must have been thinking this, here must be your motives. There's a lot of wisdom in asking people questions and conversation. There's a statement that I really love. An accusation hardens the will, but questions stir the conscience, or something to that effect. I think that is so true, full of lots of biblical wisdom. When I come at someone throwing a punch, they're not ready to receive it. But when I ask questions, it forces people to actually think and search their hearts. You can't control the words of others. Also, by the way, what other people say to you, you don't have much control over that. You have control over your words. God wants us all to learn to forgive others as well when they harm us with their words. Sins of the tongue are prevalent. People are going to sin against you with what they say. And by God's grace, I think all of us want to be patient, to do unto others what we want them to do to us, and be quick to forgive when people wrong us with their words. But I think as we look at this topic, big picture with our words, God needs to do a work in each of our hearts, because the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's really not our words that are the problem. I mean, obviously they are a problem, but below our words, where our words are flowing from, where they're coming from, is our heart. And often our hearts are full of pride and envy and jealousy and hatred and all sorts of other awful things. And our words are like the dipstick to the heart. And when our words come out and they are words of death, that should be huge clues for us that, man, there's something going on under the hood with the engine. There's something going on in the heart. And God, would you do a work of cleansing and changing me from the inside out. And that when God does that, our words change. And we end up ministering life instead of death by the grace of God. So I just encourage you as we wrap up here today, as this time ends, maybe just pray, God, would you help me to use my words today to minister life to other people, to look for those opportunities, to seize them, to take them, and help me to walk in the Spirit. Give me the grace to be a person who's not a minister of death with my words. So God wants you to build up other people with your words. That is the new life of following Jesus. And by God's grace, you and I can do that today. So let's wrap things up. And actually, as we do, when I'm all done here, I'm just going to say a quick word of prayer for you after I finish this recording and for myself, that God would help us today to use our words in a way that please Him. Thanks for tuning in today, and I hope God's word has ministered to your heart. God bless.